Now, integral yoga is the integration of the aims of all systems of yoga. That's the first thing. You integrate the aims of all the systems of yoga. Second, you integrate all the instruments. Integrate all the instruments. And thirdly, you integrate all the processes. Seems very easy. You just integrate the aims of all the yogas, you integrate all the instruments of the yogas, and you integrate all the processes. But if you do all this, particularly if you do all the processes of yoga, if you unite all of them, it will be such a long process that it may not be finished in one lifetime at all. It may take many, many, many lives. Therefore, it would seem that integration is impossible. So there must be some other method. This is what Sri Aurobindo made a deep study about, how to integrate all the objects, all the instruments, all the processes. Very difficult question. Then he found out that all the processes, whether it is Hatha Yoga, Raja Yoga, or Karma Yoga, or Bhakti Yoga, or Jnana Yoga, one common thing in all of them is concentration. You don't need to do all the processes individually which are appropriate to every yoga. He found out that one common principle in all the yogas is concentration. Then he found out that the concentration becomes perfect when you undertake two other processes. One is the process of purification. And second is a process of development. You develop your faculties and you purify all your faculties. The more you purify, the greater will be the concentration. Now, it's a very good question. I wanted this question to come from you. What is the meaning of purification? Purification consists of removing mixtures. Isn't it? Very simple answer, basically. Purification is a process of removing mixtures. You find that everything in us is mixed. This is what we find all the time. Everything is mixed. Even if you want to think in purity, you will find that at the time of thinking, emotions will interfere. Will interfere, desire will interfere. So you should have a process of dispassionate thinking, thinking without passion. That's the pure process of purification. Very often when you want to will, it will be mixture again. Will be mixed with doubt. How can you will when there is a doubt? So you have to purify your will, allow no doubt to interfere in your will. Then you can will properly, unmixed, without mixture. When you have great emotion, ideas begin to flicker in the emotions. So pure emotion is obstructed. Even while loving, you doubt. Intellectual doubts come. So your love also is affected. There should be purity of love. There is no mixture. Love for the sake of love and nothing else. Then the love becomes powerful. So first of all, there is removal of mixtures of the functioning of your faculties. You take every faculty and purify it. When you exercise one faculty, other faculty should not interfere. So this is one process of purification. It's a long exercise, but if you do this with regard to all the faculties, you will have integral yoga. In the case of other yogas, only one faculty is taken up and is purified. Others are only silenced. Others are not purified. Others are not allowed to be functioning at all. If you are doing Jnana Yoga, only intellect is purified, but will and emotion are simply put aside. They are not purified, they are not developed. Therefore the result is only limited. But in integral yoga, you purify your will, purify your emotion, purify your intellect, purify your body, purify your mind. It is integral purification. So if you know the process, whenever there is a movement, if you are thinking, purify your thought. If you are having emotion, purify your emotions. If you are willing, purify your will at the same time, simultaneously. So it takes shorter time. And each purification helps the purification of the other. If you purify your intellect, emotion also gets purified. Will also gets purified. So this is one aspect of purification. The mixture of the functioning of different faculties, that mixture is removed. Every faculty is tuned, purified. That's one process. Second process is, there's always another mixture in our consciousness. Mixture of ignorance with everything. We will ignorantly, we think ignorantly, we love ignorantly. Ignorance is a great mixture. with anything and everything that you do, ignorance is present in all the activities. So in all the activities, act with knowledge. Instead of ignorance, illumine. Illumine everything. Illumine your heart. Illumine your mind. Illumine your will. Illumine your emotions. So when you put a flame, everything is purified, isn't it? Even physically, when you put under fire anything, it becomes purified. So, you have to put the fire of illumination. Think rightly. Will rightly. Love rightly. One general principle is truth. The fire of truth is a great power of purification. Burn, burn, burn all the time. A little spark will become then seven-tongued fire. This is the image of the Veda. The fire with seven tongues, such a huge conflagration. In that purification, the process of that fire, everything is thrown, all impurities, and they are burnt away. And you emerge pure, golden, absolutely perfect. So this is the process. Sri Aurobindo has said that this purification means removal of mixtures. And mixtures are of two kinds. Mixture of faculties and mixture of all functionings with ignorance. That will mean integral purification. When all the faculties are clarified in their distinctions, and when all the faculties are burnt with the power of the truth, so all ignorance is destroyed, then you get an integral purification. Multiple tongues of fire begin to burn in your being. So that is a very important process. And when you do this, your concentration is perfect. When there are no mixtures, no ignorance, concentration is automatic. You don't have to sit down hours and hours and hours like kurma, like the tortoise, withdrawal, then dwelling. It takes such a long time. We have a very easy process. This is Sri Aurobindo discovered that if you purify yourself integrally, your concentration becomes integral. Perfect concentration. The second process is development. Along with the process of purification, you should also have a process of development. Development your intellect. Develop your mind. Develop your emotion. Develop your will. Willpower. If you develop all your faculties, concentration will be automatic afterwards. What you are doing now in this process, when we sit in this class, you are developing your mind and your intellect very sharply. If you examine what you were 6 months ago and now, you examine yourself, you'll find it's a tremendous upward trend you have taken in the minds of every one of you. How much your intellect has developed. So, this is a process of intellectual development. Similarly, you have to have exercises of development of the will. So that also you should do. Whenever you have will, I must study for 4 hours at a stretch. Have a will and sit down and see who can disturb you 4 hours of study with concentration. Develop this will. You decide that you will do it again and again and again. That's why I invited Mark to come for 1 hour tomorrow. You decide, having decided, hold to the resolution. Yes, I will do it. It must be done. No excuse at all. I must not fall ill. Because very often our body is a very tricky thing. If it doesn't want to attend something, the body will fall ill. So even if illness comes, the body must say, even if I fall ill, I will do it. That's the power of the will. In spite of anything and everything, I'll do it. Similarly, emotion. Intensity of emotion. Very often people dry down the emotions. In our yoga, all emotions are purified, not dried, intensified. So much intensified that all emotions become divine. It's by intensity. If you are a friend, the sense of loyalty in friendship, at any cost loyalty, now that is called intensity of friendship. If you love, you love intensely, without reserve, deeply, no bargaining at all, which often happens in love. I love you, therefore you must do something for me. No, not at all. No bargain. If you love, love truly, intensely. And you will find it will become divine love. The human love is transformed into divine love if you truly love. Don't dry it away. Drying is a process by which you weaken. Whereas you must develop the intensity. Purify and develop, purify and develop. In love there are lessons of jealousy, horrible thing. Therefore even that has to be sacrificed. Love without jealousy. That's called intensity and purity of love. Not like Othello. Wrong example of love. Develop the body to the fullest extent. The health, strength, agility of the body. All the three things should be achieved. Health, strength and agility. You can add also the beauty of the body. Develop the beauty of the body. If you stand before the divine, you should be beautiful. Even physically, no? All of you are beautiful, therefore you must remember you are all worthy of divine presence. So preserve this beauty and go before the divine with intensity of beauty. So these two processes, purification and development, along with these two is the concentration. Concentration is the main thing. Purity and development are the two instruments by which you can increase that concentration. Purification on the right side, development on the left side, in the center is the concentration. With this triple method, take all the instruments and apply these three methods, that is the secret of integral yoga. Instead of only one single faculty, put all the faculties together. Then you don't need to do so many exercises as in Hatha Yoga or in Raja Yoga. All other processes can be eliminated. Keep only these three processes: purification, development, concentration. Integral purification, integral development, integral concentration. That is the secret of integral yoga. Sri Aurobindo has used the word all-receiving concentration. One expression: all-receiving concentration. In every process of concentration, whether you are studying or playing or simply watching, all the time receive the Divine. The Divine is always pouring on you. That we must remember all the time. All the time Divine is pouring. The rains of heaven are already on us. Only we are closed with umbrellas, so we don't receive. We don't receive the pouring of the rains of the Divine. So if you remove your umbrellas, be absolutely open, it will become all receiving concentration. The Divine will come to you from all sides. The Divine will come to you through your will, He will come to you through your emotion, He will come to you through your intellectual discrimination, through your body, through your mind, through everything. Whatever you do, offer to the Divine. Remember the Divine. Be with the Divine. This is the simple and very complex process. Simple yet complex. Simple and complex process of all receiving concentration. This is Sri Aurobindo's discovery after years. For us it is now easy because we have the advantage now of Sri Aurobindo's great labor to find out what is the essence of every yoga, what can be eliminated so that we can, in one lifetime, we can achieve the highest result. So he found out all receiving concentration is the one formula. And then you get integral Divine. The aim will be to realize integral Divine. In the case of Karma Yoga, you knew only the will of God. In Jnana Yoga, you know only the being of God. In Bhakti Yoga, you know only the love of God. But if you want to know all the three together, the being of God, the will of God, love of God, then integral yoga is necessary. So when you do integral yoga, you know all the three together. If you don't know all the three together, it's only because your process may be halfway in one case, halfway in the other case, halfway in the third case, or little proportions, different proportions. You may be a great karma yogi but very little jnana yogi. Then you will know the will of God but not the stuff of God, or only partly. But if you do Karma Yoga, Bhakti Yoga and Jnana Yoga together, as Sri Aurobindo says, if you ride a chariot of three wheels at the same time, simultaneously, then you can see the speed with which your chariot will run and achieve the goal. Now I'll read to you page number 37. All that I have spoken to you is written in chapter number 3 and 4 and 5 of the introduction, not 4 and 5 of the main book, but of the introduction. Then there are 5 chapters. First chapter is Life and Yoga. Second chapter is called The 3 Steps of Nature. Third chapter is called The Threefold Life. And the fourth chapter is The Systems of Yoga. I have told you about all the systems of yoga. It is from this chapter. So although we are only dealing with one line of the second paragraph of the first chapter, in fact you have finished the whole chapter, in fact. This fourth chapter, you almost finished the whole chapter. If you read now by yourself, you will be able to understand very easily. And now I am doing the fifth chapter, the synthesis. You have already done the much part of this fifth chapter, already. But now I'll read to you one paragraph so that your mind becomes absolutely firm. Now I'll read to you this paragraph. The synthesis we propose cannot then be arrived at either by combination in mass or by successive practice. You cannot do each yoga one by one. First you do Hatha Yoga, then you do Raja Yoga, then you do Karma Yoga, then you do Jnana Yoga, then you do Karma Yoga. If you do like that in succession, it will be such a long process that it can never be finished. So Sri Aurobindo says, it cannot be done by successive practice, nor can you do by combination mass. Simultaneously you do pranayama, asana, pratyahara, dharana, dhyana, simultaneously. That also won't be possible. So synthesis cannot be achieved either by combination in mass or by successive practice. It must therefore be effected by neglecting the forms and outsides of the yogic disciplines. You neglect all the details of each yoga and seizing rather on some central principle common to all. I told you common principles: development, purification, concentration. So Sri Aurobindo says, if you seize on some central principle common to all, which will include and utilize in the right place and proportion their particular principles, you seize on some central dynamic force which is the common secret of the divergent methods, and capable therefore of organizing a natural selection and combination of their varied energies and different utilities. This was the aim which we set before ourselves at first, when we entered upon our comparative examination of the methods of nature and the methods of yoga, and we now return to it with the possibility of hazarding some definite solution. Right? We have done this paragraph already. How to arrive at a synthesis, integration of yoga. If you can seize upon one common principle, one dynamic power, which is common to all, then you'll solve the problem. Now you open page number 40. This paragraph gives you that central secret when everything can be combined together. The method we have to pursue then is to put our whole conscious being, that's a word important, whole conscious being, will, intellect, body, mind, emotion, everything. The method we have to pursue then is to put our whole conscious being into relation and contact with the divine and to call him. The rain of the divine should pour upon you. So call him in to transform our entire being into his. We should be drenched with the waters of the divine. Remove all obstructions by which we close our mind and body and life. If you open completely to the divine, then we shall be drenched by the waters of the divine. To call him in to transform our entire being into his, so that in a sense, God himself, the real person in us, becomes the sadhaka of the sadhana. He himself becomes a sadhaka. If he enters into us, then much of our labor is gone, because he will do the sadhana himself. That is a great secret found, to allow the Supreme himself to enter into us and do the sadhana. So that in a sense, God himself, the real person in us, becomes the sadhaka of the sadhana, as well as the master of the yoga, by whom the lower personality is used as a center of a divine transfiguration and the instrument of its own perfection. This is polished way of saying that you become drenched. It's a poetic way of saying you become drenched by the divine. You become center of the divine transfiguration. Our lower personality, our head and body, all are drenched by the divine waters. Our lower personality becomes a center of transfiguration of the divine. It becomes instrument of its own perfection. So this is the answer to this question. Now, if you do this, we are now coming to the end of the whole idea. What is integral yoga? We have answered, integral yoga is the integration of all the aims of yogas, all the instruments of different systems of yoga, and all the processes, but in an integrating manner. Integrating manner is threefold: development, purification and concentration of all the faculties, of whole being. Putting all the three into the contact with the divine, invite the waters of the divine, be drenched, then he will do everything else. If you do this on your part, he will do the rest. That is the system of integral yoga. In one simple life, single life, you can do all the processes. You can attain to the highest perfection if you follow this process. Now there are three features of integral yoga. In this yoga, there is no strict sequence. In the integral yoga, there is no strict or rigid sequence. Now, this is a very important statement. If you look at the Hatha Yoga, you followed the word? There is no strict sequence. Sequence, S-E-Q-U-E-N-C-E. There is no strict sequence. Sequence means going step by step. One followed by the other. In a sense, all steps are taken together. In a sense. There is no sequence that you do this first, then you do this, then you do this. In Hatha Yoga, for example, you do first asana. Master it, then you come to pranayama. In Raja Yoga, you do first yama and niyama, then asana, then pranayama, then, like the tortoise, withdrawal from all the outside influences, then dwelling further, then absorption. In every yoga, there is a sequence. You do this first, then you do this second, you do third, you do fourth. Now in this integral yoga, there is no rigid sequence. There is sequence, but there is no rigid sequence. If you ask, what is the first thing we should do in this yoga, there is no straight answer. If at all you insist, a few things can be told, but even there, you find you can do this first, or you do this first, or you do that first, you do that first, whatever is convenient to you. So there is no rigid sequence. There are, of course, broad lines of development. You can't say, I'll jump straight to supramental. That you can't do. Supermind will come at a later stage, but even there, you can make jumps from one to the other, depends upon what your capacities are, your state is. So there is sequence, but no rigid sequence. You should distinguish the two things. A sequence, but no rigid sequence. Whatever is convenient to you to start with, that you should do. If it is easy for you not to study at all, you'll be allowed in this yoga. Don't study. What do you like to do? Whatever you can do easily, whatever is your inclination, concentrate on that, purify that, develop that. Whatever. Then gradually, then there will be sequence. Once you take up this, then there will be sequence of it. But even there, the sequence is not rigid again. If after some time you say, I want to do something else, that also is allowed. That is the real principle of free progress. in a rigid system of education, first you do this, then you do this, then you do this. Strict syllabus, no? In free progress, syllabus is not fixed. Whatever you feel like doing, you do it. After some time, if you want to do something else, do that. Integrate with what you have done so far, or don't integrate, go to the third step. Allow your natural being to flow. Gradually you develop your faculties. Ultimate aim is all your faculties must come into the picture. If this is not done ultimately, then you lose everything. Your aim should be all, everything. Everything should be developed. Everything should be transfigured. So this is the first characteristic. In this integral yoga, there is no rigid sequence. There are some people who are so active that they can't meditate at all. So to them the answer is, don't meditate. Go on doing your work. Offer all your work to the divine. That is the meditation of a different kind. Offering your work to the divine is another kind of meditation. So do that kind of meditation. Don't sit quietly at one time, half an hour, 1 hour. Don't do that. There are some people who are incapable of doing a lot of work. Their energies are not tuned to action. They like to meditate, reflect, contemplate, withdraw, retire, be quiet, silent. So for them, that is the method. You start with that. For others, remembering the divine, to sing the songs of the divine, to praise the divine, to live all the time in love of God. That may be much easier for so many people. So you start with that. So there is no rigid sequence that you must start with this or this or this. You start wherever you are, whatever you are. It is to such an extent that every individual will have his own system of yoga. Because every individual has different combinations of his mind, of his life, of his body. Therefore, everybody will have appropriate to himself his own method. So, synthesis of yoga, integral yoga, is one in which every individual will have his own system. So there are millions and millions of ways of integral yoga, not one. Therefore, integral yoga can never become religion. Religion is a system in which one method is prescribed, one principle is introduced, and you have to follow that one principle. Integral yoga can never become religion because everyone is allowed his own method to develop. So there is not religion at all. As my mother once said, it is impossible to make of teaching of Sri Aurobindo a religion. Impossible. You can't make it a religion. If every individual has his own method of development, you can't prescribe that everyone should do this. In religion, all those who believe in a religion, all have to follow one method. In the integral yoga, everyone has his own method, has his own way of development. There are no two identical persons having the same system of yoga in the integral yoga. For each individual, the yoga develops as he moves forward. His methods develop, depending upon what is now prominent, what is easy, what is demanded by the force of your action, and you go on growing on that side. Gradually, all of them, like branches of the tree, they intertwine. Ultimately, you become a beautiful lotus, having all the petals grown together in a perfect manner. That is the aim. So this is the first characteristic. The second characteristic of this yoga is, I'm sorry, we must read the first. There are three outstanding features, page number 41. There are three outstanding features of this action of the higher when it works integrally on the lower nature. integral yoga has three features. First, in the first place, it does not act according to a fixed system and succession as in the specialized methods of yoga, but with a sort of free, scattered, and yet gradually intensive and purposeful working determined by the temperament of the individual in whom it operates. So, these are very important words: free, scattered, and yet gradually intensive and purposeful. This is the method, special feature of this integral yoga. Free, scattered, and yet gradually intensive and purposeful. It is determined by the temperament of the individual. According to the temperament of the individual, whether you are active or emotive or contemplative or muscular man trying to do all the time muscle building, depends upon your inclination. Nothing is compulsory in this yoga. Ultimately, everything is included, but nothing compulsory in your process. The helpful materials which is nature offers, you have to look as to what is it that is helpful in your nature. If it is easy for you to contemplate, then that is your method. Easy for you to love, then that is your method. Easy for you to work, it is your method. Depending upon your temperament, what is your elements in your temperament? Helpful materials which is nature offers, and the obstacles which it presents to purification and perfection. So purification and perfection comes by development. Purification, development, concentration. These three methods are always present. But where you will apply depends upon where is your obstruction, where is your helpful material. You apply there. In a sense, therefore, each man in this path has his own method of yoga. This is a most important sentence. Integral yoga, for everyone, there is a different path. There is one beautiful sentence in the Bhagavad Gita: as they approach me, so do I deliver. As they approach me, so do I deliver. If you approach the Divine with love, He returns you with love. If you want the Divine should increase your powers of work, He pours work in you. If you contemplate on Him, He gives you a lot of peace and silence. As you approach, so He delivers. Ye yatha mam prapadyante tan tathaiva bhajamyaham. That is a Sanskrit word. As they approach me, so do I respond to them. If you think Divine is angry with you, He is angry with you. If you think the Divine is pleased with you, He is pleased with you. So now you decide. As you approach, so He will respond. Both are good. If you need the hand of Kali, then think the Divine is angry with you, then Kali's hand will come and will break all your obstructions on the spot. If you want a soft, little by little process, the Divine will do very softly, very tenderly, very affectionately, all the things that have to be done. It depends on you. As you approach, so He will deliver. So He will respond. And there are millions of ways of approaching to the Divine. Millions. That is why it is said, integral yoga has million ways. There is not one way. In a sense, therefore, each man in this path has his own method of yoga. Yet are there certain broad lines of working common to all, which enable us to construct not indeed a routine system, but yet some kind of shastra and ascetic yoga. So although outward it may look to be scattered, but behind it there is a method. Not a rigid method, there is a sequence. There are three basic steps of this yoga. You may start anywhere, but you have to pass through three basic steps. Sri Aurobindo has spoken of them as triple transformation: psychic, spiritual, supramental. Even there, the process is overlapping. It's not a rigid process. Even while you are having a psychic stage of development, supramental stage also can intervene suddenly. Supermind can suddenly intervene, or spiritual can intervene. You may go first to spiritual, then psychic may develop later. We shall see all this later on. But still, in a general way, basic thing is you develop first psychic, then spiritual, then supramental. That kind of succession is not entirely impossible. In fact, it is very much in the picture. So that is the shastra. The shastra of integral yoga, which is already written in your heart, is the shastra of psychic transformation, spiritual transformation, supramental transformation. This is the scientific method of yoga, integral yoga. Now there is a second feature. You are tired now? We shall take up later on. All right.